today.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you're getting ready for a big, fat weekend. Lots of barbecues, hanging out, chilling, and remembering what Memorial Day is all about, honoring those who gave their lives, certainly, for this country. In my little neighborhood growing up, Memorial Day was a very big deal. They had a parade in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and you'd go out to various sites where veterans were buried, and you'd see a lot of wreaths and flowers and all that sort of stuff. And a lot of people were pretty good about honoring those who, again, served the country and lost their lives as a result of that. Well, Gitmo, not Memorial Day, was really the focus in the Beltway because, and it's no doubt, just a day ago, Congress said no to funding the closing of Guantanamo. So President Obama defended his plan to close the camp. And really the heart of what he said is the way that America is perceived and these interrogations. It was a misguided experiment. It's interesting, too, because at the time when Obama was speaking, no joke, a stone's throw away, maybe a football, a Tom Brady down the pike, first down yardage pass for over, I guess, 60 yards. That's where Dick Cheney was. That's what we'll say. I'm visualizing a football field because it was a little more than a stone's throw. So anyway, Vice President Dick Cheney offered his own kind of spin on national security, and we know where Cheney stands on it, that you have to fight terrorism. There isn't a middle ground, and he feels that Obama and this administration is putting Americans in jeopardy for some of the things that have happened since he's been president. Not happened to us attack-wise, but have happened as far as reversals of policies and all that other sort of stuff. And Obama, of course, a much different route he takes, but he says it's fear-mongering that has led to so many of the problems, like the money getting denied for him to close the prison. The reason he was denied is because of fear-mongering. Boy, that's become a big word. Is that in the dictionary? I've got to look that up. It's probably going to be entered into this year's dictionary. You know how each year there's new words put in? I've seen fear-mongering, I swear, 1,000 times since January. So let's let the president tell it in his own words, and you be the judge. Here he is.
I know some have argued that brutal methods like waterboarding were necessary to keep us safe. I could not disagree more. As Commander-in-Chief, I see the intelligence. I bear the responsibility for keeping this country safe. And I categorically reject the assertion that these are the most effective means of interrogation. Instead of serving as a tool to counter terrorism, Guantanamo became a symbol that helped al-Qaeda recruit terrorists to its cause. Indeed, the existence of Guantanamo likely created more terrorists around the world than it ever detained. We are not going to release anyone if it would endanger our national security. Nor will we release detainees within the United States who endanger the American people.
All right, so it's interesting. Obama was speaking at the National Archives. You can hear that echo in the background. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. He actually stood right in front of a copy of the Constitution. And this was, he was set to do this speech anyway. He was talking to members of the Judge Advocate General's Corps about, for diplomatic policy and development, those officials, and some other folks from civil liberties groups as well. And he says status quo is not the right answer, bottom line. It won't work. And that his administration is in the process of studying all of the remaining detainees to determine what to do, what's the appropriate policies to deal with them specifically. And he emphasized that nobody has ever escaped from one of our supermax prisons, which, of course, holds hundreds of convicted terrorists. Here's the bottom line. Were any of you thinking in a supermax prison that these prisoners were going to escape? That wasn't so much my thought. My thought was is that people, especially people who had their lives disintegrate in front of their very eyes, their family, their spouse, their sister, their brother, their son, their boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance. I mean, we know there's this bazillion stories, okay? How would Americans feel about having those thugs, because there's a handful of them that are traced to 9/11, how do they feel about housing them here on our soil? And, of course, the countries that they're from don't want them back. I think it's a lot more about that and also polluting the population of a prison, even when you're in a prison where you're separated, that ultimately the chitter-chatter, what goes on behind bars, that kind of thing. I don't think that many of you listening to America Tonight, and this is my take anyway, that you were worried about somebody getting out and doing harm to the neighborhoods around the prison, or obviously escaping and slipping out of the country or slipping in to assimilate with the population and then destroy bridges or tunnels or schools or shopping malls or whatever. And maybe you did have that thought. And Obama's right. The supermax prison, I don't know how you would do that. But I think the other reasons why are mainly and primarily what people were furious about. They didn't even want them anywhere near our soil as to what happened. Well, too late for that, because we know the one Gitmo detainee is going to be the first one to face trial in the United States. But the Senate did block moving the rest of them, blocked the money. So as of right now, there is no money there. Obama is trying to rally Congress to come up with what he says is the appropriate legal regime and to push, frankly, to get his money. That's what he's going to do. He's not going to give up. He's going to push and try to make that happen, so that Gitmo can be closed when he said it was going to be closed, which would be in January of next year. So two things. Do you think, when we're on these airwaves and we're talking about this, do you think in January I'm going to come on the air and say, well, Guantanamo is closed and XYZ, however many people, 240, are being processed, and some of them have been gone through the system already, or this is what's happening, that kind of thing. Do you think I'll be on these airwaves saying that? What do you think the chances are of that? 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. And if your congressman or senator asked you, okay, you know, I represent you, the people, in the great state of Kentucky, in the great state of Illinois, California, Texas, Connecticut, Vermont, Florida, etc. I mean, pick a state, any state, wherever you're from. What would you tell that congressman or senator? You know, you have the chance to talk to them. What are you going to tell them? What would you want to see done? That they would pony up the money, would approve it to shut down Guantanamo, or would you tell them not to approve the money like they did the other day? But there's a push to reverse that. 800-259-5791. Dick Cheney had a different take. We're going to let you hear what he had to say, particularly about interrogations, next on America Tonight.
white. She's pure as New York snow.
All right, so you have a voice in this. You have a dog in this fight, as they say, America. Gitmo, close her down or keep her running? What do you say? Pay the tax dollars, have them come back here to the United States, put them in the supermax prisons. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Kate, hanging with you coast to coast and everywhere in between and over the borders as well here on America Tonight. Dick Cheney had his own take, of course, and he has had his own spin on what's happened because he was part of the administration, is fully aware of what happened the previous 8 years, and is defending the position. We're going to let you hear the latest of what he had to say, the latest version, coming up in just a minute. But first, let's go to Sam across the border in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Hello. A former governor of Minnesota. I think you know who I'm talking about.
Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, last week was on a certain show on CNN, and said that George Bush Jr., not senior, was in his mind the worst president that the United States had ever had.
Yeah, he does not like Bush. He thinks the whole interrogation thing really smeared the United States. Yes.
And the funny part is, okay, and I'm thinking, like, excuse me, you're a Navy SEAL, so why are you saying this, you know? You know, but I guess maybe Navy SEALs weren't involved in interrogation. They were involved in rescue. So and when you think about it, he really doesn't know. And as far as closing Gitmo after what we talked about last night, I'm thinking, close it, send them to the supermax prisons, because some of these guys, because some of these prisoners, I have this strange feeling, if you put them in supermax prisons, won't last long once you meet some, like, mass murderers and rapists and stuff like that, because they'll probably act like, oh, yeah, we're tough. I don't think so.
Right, even if they're isolated. Whoops, we forgot that they were in the shower and we were supposed to remove him accidentally.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, oops, the soap slipped and all that other stuff. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's even if they're segregated, still something can happen. I agree with you.
Right. And, you know, so, you know, like I said, you know, close it. Besides from what President Obama is saying, that, you know, maybe one day soon Americans might be able to, you know, go to Cuba, you know, for vacations and stuff. So if they tear down Guantanamo, they might be able to build a fancy hotel there. Who knows?
You almost need a rim shot for that one. So yeah. Sam tells the president, listen, I agree with you. Tear that sucker down. Let's put up a giant Hilton.
or build a whole bunch of condos.
That's right, condos. Yeah, Americans, come over.
Or maybe at the rate the Phoenix Coyotes are going, maybe build a hockey rink and move them to Havana, Cuba.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hockey? We like hockey. Come on over. Exactly.
Yeah. Tonight's game, where even though it was high scoring by playoff standards, I thought it was a great game.
You know what? I only saw highlights of it, but it looked like it was good.
Oh, flipping between that and the Memorial Cup. I told you about that. They had between that. So basically, I like the way Julie says. Julie says, why join a health club? Just, you know, keep on channel flicking and your right hand will get nice and strong. You like
we
this,
like her. We are very funny tonight. You got to tell Julie that we said hi, Sam. Have a fabulous weekend.
You too. Take care, gorgeous.
It's so funny. She's good. She's clever. Yeah, you're going to keep flipping like that. You know, it's not just a thing, by the way, so you guys know, that men do. Women do it, too. I'm pretty bad at that, I have to say. But probably because I have the TiVo thing. You know, time is of the essence always with me. So if you're taping a bunch of things, you're fast-forwarding through all the spots, everything, you get to things faster, whatever it is you're watching. So I am messing around with a clicker all the time, but usually it's because I'm fast-forwarding. I'm the queen of the fast-forward and hitting it right on the money. Boom! Stop it on the dime so that I can get right back to whatever it was. And and that's what you do anyway. Hey, speaking of getting back right to where she was, the Speaker of the House, I told you she has friends in high places. The House is rejecting the probe into Pelosi's CIA claims, okay? The Speaker has asked the CIA to declassify a ton of information supporting her statements. So this is what's happened. The House Dems, going into the weekend, defeated a Republican push to investigate Pelosi's assertion that the CIA misled her in 2002 about the whole waterboarding thing. So Republicans like Ron Paul of Texas and Walter Jones from North Carolina joined some others in voting 252 to 172 to block the measure, which would have created that bipartisan congressional panel. So there's nothing happening on the Pelosi front. She wasn't there when they voted, and the Republicans called for it while she was giving a commencement speech at John Hopkins in Baltimore. So we know this. It was just last week that Pelosi told reporters she wasn't told about waterboarding and that it had been used against terror suspects, even though it was. And then, of course, basically shoved the CIA under the bus. That's my version of it that I've been saying on America Tonight based on her comments. And so far, nothing is going to happen there. Will they declassify the information that supports what she says? The CIA has sent lawmakers notes and memos on 40 congressional briefings on the interrogation techniques, 40. But that document has been found to have a bunch of problems with it, I guess. Of course. So Leon Panetta, we know this, acknowledged that it might not be completely accurate. The CIA's list might not be completely accurate. And that's what he said. Remember, he said in the end, you have to determine whether it's an accurate summary of what happened or not. So as I said, there's no way Newt Gingrich was calling for Pelosi's head and for her to resign, be kicked out, booted, whatever. And that's not going to happen. There's too much of a push to keep Pelosi. So it doesn't matter what guys like John Boehner say. It's not going to happen. Unless there is some incredible smoking gun, and I don't think they're going to be able to find enough for that to happen, and this is the first step in that direction. So, and I think this is going to go by the boards, and the focus is going to go back to Gitmo and the closing and all that other sort of stuff. You know, with the CIA and how they're getting picked, because I think they're getting picked on. What's happened now with Leon Panetta, and this is really what he's had to do, he has to reassure some of the people working for the CIA and has got to tell them constantly to ignore this political controversy. I mean, flat out saying his advice is pretty straightforward. Ignore the noise and say, focus on your mission, that we have too much work to do to be distracted from our job. But when somebody works for the CIA, especially if you're known to work for the CIA, I'm not talking about an undercover operative where somebody doesn't know, your neighbors have no clue what you're doing. I'm saying when people know that you work for the CIA, pretty tough. Don in Wyoming, hey, man, what's happening with you?
Hey, Kate, how are you?
Good, man.
Would you...
Gitmo, what do you think? We've heard two different versions. Of course, it's what we've been hearing all along, yes.
You know, Kate, I'll tell you something. It's just amazing to listen to Obama today and his, you know, have you ever heard a bigger wussy speech in my life? I mean, this guy, he tries to sit back and say, you know, oh, this is American. We have American values and we don't stoop this low and, you know, and we're going to fight this war with, you know, with respect. And, you know, and America's always been America hasn't been like that, Kate. We were doing the same things to the British that the Islamic extremists are doing to us now. Okay? That's the way it went back then. The British would get so ticked off because we wouldn't come out and stand out on an open field with them. We were using guerrilla war, or, you know, our forefathers were using guerrilla warfare, hiding in trees, and, you know, because they didn't have the manpower to fight them straight
right.
up.
You
know,
right,
and
exactly.
So, you know, to sit back and say that we're not going to, you know, we're going to have law and order and stoop, and that's the sign of a great society. You know what? That's such a bunch of crap. Okay? These guys that we're fighting right now, I mean, look what they do. They come and shoot at us. They, you know, and then they go hide behind women and children.
I know. And that's the worst part, Don. Absolutely. You and I have talked about that so much. And it's so true. The fact that the women and the kids half the time are trotted out and blown up or decoys or whatever. This is a whole different ball game. On the flip side, you'll hear what Chaney had to say next.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of your child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing. Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades.
Hello, I'm Dan Bassmajan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created the Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn and how to ace every test. It's so easy, your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. Call 888-849-6863. That's 888-849-6863. Call 888-849-6863.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area, because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Top secret meetings about enhanced interrogations, I made my own beliefs clear. I was and remain a strong proponent of our enhanced interrogation program. The interrogations were used on hardened terrorists after other efforts had failed. They were legal, essential, justified, successful, and the right thing to do. The intelligence officers who questioned the terrorists can be proud of their work, proud of the results, because they prevented the violent death of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people. Even before the interrogation program began and throughout its operation, it was closely reviewed to ensure that every method used was in full compliance with the Constitution, with our statutes and treaty obligations. On numerous occasions, leading members of Congress, including the current Speaker of the House, were briefed on the program and on the methods. Yet for all these exacting efforts to do a hard and necessary job and to do it right, we hear from some quarters nothing but feigned outrage based on a false narrative. But either way, I want to kill you.
I want to blow you away. Dick Cheney talking about, of course, being proud of the course from the past 8 years, while the president was trashing the last 8 years and saying that it was wrong, it was misdirected what was happening at Guantanamo. Therefore, Guantanamo needs desperately to be closed. And that was ultimately the goal of his administration, was to have that happen sooner rather than later. And, of course, Cheney is obviously on the opposite end of that and feels and has said this on many of the shows that he's been on, that as the president continues to do things like, okay, we're closing Gitmo, come back, these interrogation practices were wrong, they were akin to torture, we don't torture, all that sort of stuff. And then what ensued after that was what works and what doesn't work when interrogating people that could possibly, jihadists who could possibly blow you up. So there has been a big reversal from what the previous administration obviously thought that worked. And this is what you could call a serious duel of ethics, morals, and just flat out what you think is the right course for the United States. We are the American populace. We are the American people, and which is one and the same. And it is your tax dollars, ultimately, that would be used to close Guantanamo. Should it be squashed? Is that the way to move on and head into a different direction? You already know how I feel, and the reason I feel the way I do, because of what I believe would be dangerous. Not so much the, quote, prison break, like the television show. Not so much that, but because of what it symbolizes, bringing the detainees to U.S. soil and processing them. And, of course, the countries don't want them back. And you think of the heinous things of, like, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and also Zabidayu and his part in everything. And then it just, I don't know, it just makes the hair on my arms stand up straight. And it might be for me, because I can't gloss over it, that I was in New York City. I saw what happened. It was it took my breath away. I wasn't in the towers, of course, and I wasn't in that area when it happened, but I was in New York. I was in Queens. And literally, people thought that we were being attacked. But regardless, the stories, the human faces behind what happened, I mean, how dare they come to our country and get away with that? And get away with it, they did. Well, you got to fight back. I mean, how do you fight back? I guess that's what it is. Ultimately, what is the correct way to fight back? And one thing Obama and Cheney do agree on, they both think that you cannot tolerate terrorists. But in saying you can't tolerate terrorism, how do you stop it? I mean, therein lies the question. How do you find Osama bin Laden? How do you cut off the head of one snake and then continue to get rid of the others in a very poisonous garden? How do you do that? Because this is a different kind of war. Mark is listening to us in the great state of New York. Hey, Mark.
Hey, babe. I won't mention guns tonight, and I'll try not to mention Oklahoma City.
That's okay.
Let's have a conversation, and let's engage all your listeners and have them call, even the ones that haven't called, because we can all sit here and be tough guys and say, let's do this or let's do that. We have to thank the CIA and the people that were in the trenches getting the information. And Sam made a couple of comments. And, Sam, we know we love you up there, and we know that you're Jewish, so listen up, babe. And this call connects Guantanamo and the possibility of these guys coming here with this cell, admittedly low-tech, ignorant cell that was broken up in the Bronx, New York. Have you heard about this?
Yes, of course.
Four guys that they lived in Newburgh, which I'm familiar with Newburgh. My friend owns a rib joint up there. Been up there many times. I like the town. But here's the point. As Sam has to understand, I know he does because he's an intelligent man. If these guys are brought to the prison, even the Supermax prison, they're not going to be beat up or harmed by other inmates. There is a code of honor, but the real danger is they can radicalize by their presence people that are there. Remember, the blind sheik, one of the masterminds, is there. Now, look, people have let me just calm down. People have said, oh, we created Osama bin Laden. We worked with the Mujahideen when they were against the Russians. These are the CIA's babies. I know those arguments, okay? I'm not well-versed enough to say whether that's true or not, okay? But my point is you'll have to look at – look, the cell in the Bronx, as unsophisticated as it was, they were black men who turned to Islam and were radicalized in the mosque.
That's right.
What we have to do is shut down the mosque. Now, I can hear your people screaming, oh, my God, we have freedom of religion. Yes, but they weren't Yiddish. They weren't Roman Catholic. They weren't born-again Christians. Again, they were, this case, radicalized black men who had – histories of being in jail. Guess what? Can we get the imams out of the prison? Now, it's not just me, America. Stephen Emerson of the Investigative Project, who wrote American Jihad, Senator John Kyle, Peter King of New York, they've all said that we have to watch and see and interpret what the imams are telling these guys. If we can't do that, we are lost. We're never going to win. If you believe that radical Islamic culture and terror is what's doing this. And look, they were going after what we're told, the Jewish organizations,
that's
the synagogues,
right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and to a related point, if you look at the Wall Street Journal today, apparently the prisoners that we released back to Yemen, Al-Qaeda is getting a foothold in Yemen. So it's catch and release. I don't know what to do with these guys. I could be a tough guy and say, bring them here to New York and I'll shoot them. Look, you got to just show me one tape of the people jumping out of the World Trade Center. And that's enough for me. Now,
right. People
will say, you're ignorant, Mark, because you have to go back to history. I understand. I try to read history. I talked to you many times on the show about the culture, Islam, Sufi Islam, Sunni Islam, Wahhabi Islam. I try to be understanding. But look, sometimes, you know, just brute force has to be used. If this is really what these people are, if they're really radical Muslims, they have to be exterminated. But we're going to lose this battle because the demographics say they're increasing and we're decreasing. So we're tying our hands behind our back. I don't know what to do with those guys in Guantanamo. They were caught on the battlefield. It would have been better for us now if there was a bullet in their head. Now, it's easy for me to say this comfortable in my bedroom here talking on the radio. I wasn't there on the battlefield. But what are you going to do? Because you have to do something with these guys. And to him to say, and they're not just regular combatants. They weren't wearing uniforms. They weren't appealing.
They were plotting. They were part of.
And like I said today, I told you last week, I said they're plotting now.
Yeah.
I had no idea that the feds were looking at this group. And
right. These
are unsophisticated people, Kate.
Oh, yeah.
You know that the Islamic terrorists that are still here that are way more sophisticated, probably listen to this phone call, would love to get their hands on me. They're even better than these guys in
right.
the Bronx. What are they
You're
planning?
Right.
And they're looking at how the response is going to be.
Yeah.
What's going to come out in court? And what it comes down to, if it's true, if Stephen Emerson a liar, or the senator's a liar, is our whole culture lying to us? Are they Islamic terrorists or not? Were they radicalized in the prisons by the imams? Hey, it puts you on my enemy's list. I'm on your enemy. I don't really care. We have to fight these people, or we're finished.
I agree.
On that, I say have a happy holiday. I'll call you next week. I love you, babe.
All right. Great call, Mark. He was very calm and he made sense because what he's saying about the radicalization in prison is exactly what I was pointing to in our last show and our show before that. And it's exactly what Robert Mueller, the FBI director, said when he was on Capitol Hill. He said that's the danger. That is the danger. It's not the escaping. It's what can happen when they're mixed in with the rest of the population, even if they're isolated. So guys like Ante Williams, he was one of the four guys arrested in this plot that was stopped in New York City. And he was somebody who was introduced to Islam in prison. And, of course, here's the deal. This new guy was different from what everybody else knew around him. He became a Muslim in prison, and his mother died. He was separated from his wife. She had custody of the kids. He was depressed. He was vulnerable, and he was radicalized. He wasn't the only one. The three other guys with him as well became radicalized. They knew each other from their time in prison. And this is just a tiny example of it. I mean, the prison sentences they serve are for drug convictions. One used marijuana. The other one, it was something else to do with selling drugs because he wasn't making very much money in his job. And they had various reasons to do the things that they were trying to do. I already mentioned the one, Krumrighty, who was furious about the U.S. war in Afghanistan because his parents had lived there right before he was born, and he was interested in jihad and doing something to the United States. He flat out said it, period, end of story. Hey, coming up on the flip side, we're going to lighten the load a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit more, some of your emails on Gitmo, so that wouldn't be lightening the load, but that would be getting your vote, 800-259-5791. Also, we're going to talk about the best pizza. Is it thin crust, thick crust, deep dish pizza, all that? How exciting. Coming up round the bend.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and, worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Thank you.
then you have a say as far as Gitmo is concerned, which you do, because you can absolutely let your voice be heard by calling your congressman, your senator, etc., which you could have been doing all along. Certainly, it's your taxpayer money that will go to closing Guantanamo and the prisoners, etc., ultimately being housed or whatever. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. I'm going to rifle off a couple of quick emails here because I got a ton of them, so I'll unload a few now, specifically on Gitmo. Then we're going to go to the phones.
You have
Phil,
mail, mistress.
Oh, I love that. Can we hear that again?
You have mail, mistress.
Cool. So, Phil in California says, hey, Kate, thumbs up, like the show. Don't agree with you on Gitmo. Close that sucker down. It's a cesspool. We need to ditch it. It's so brutal at this point. It's too big of a black eye. Here's one from Prime Time in L.A. Prime Time in L.A. says, I think we keep Gitmo open. Screw those prisoners. They don't need to be on our soil. Here's one from Sweet Ann. Sweet Ann says, I think we need to close Gitmo. Gitmo has been nothing but a pain in a blank blank. Here's one from Big Bob. Big Bob says, leave Gitmo open. Don't waste our money anymore. Here's another one from Jake. Jake says, Gitmo is nasty. It's nasty what's happened there, and we need to put it behind us. Obama's 100% right. Even though I always don't agree with you, I like your show, Kate. Here's another one from Jesse G. Jesse G. says, absolutely keep Gitmo open. I don't want those scumbags, as you say, Kate, on our soil. 800-259-5791. Sean is listening to us in Minnesota. Hey, Sean.
Hey there, Kate.
Hey.
What reason is President Obama giving for needing a budget allocated from Congress specifically for closing Gitmo? That just makes no sense to me.
Well, he's saying that you need the money to transfer the prisoners, the detainees, from Guantanamo, because there's so many. You know, you're talking about 240 terrorist suspects that are there, so you would have to bring them back to the United States. Then you'd have to go through that trial process. So by the time you add up all the dollars, that's what it would take to also shut that down, ditch it, etc. That's just part of what the cost would be. Seems like a lot of money.
that seems to me it's just a matter of providing, which the government's got plenty of its own airplanes, and retrying them. What are we retrying them for?
Well, for the whatever the crimes are, because remember they haven't been in most cases they haven't had. In fact, in almost all the cases they haven't had our form of justice, the due process. Remember that was that argument over the military tribunals and how do you try these guys? So that's what the deal is there. So if you're going to take them through our government, the court system, the federal courts, the international court, I guess is the right way to say it, then you would process them through. They would have an attorney, which many of them have been assigned attorneys, and they would go through the whole process, the due process of the courts. So that would take a lot of money, and that would take a lot of time, because you think of the amount of people that we're talking about, so that would add up. So then you throw in transportation, shutting it down, housing them somewhere, the processing them through with the attorneys, with the court system, and then you know that would add up.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
My take on Gitmo is it's a facility that never should have been open.
That we should that have just
never should have been opened in the first place. No, what's America doing? First of all, leasing land from a foreign country to house inmates being detained and being charged with crimes in violation of American law, so to speak. I've never seen the sense in that.
Yeah, you know what? It's dicey because as of what each one of them would be tried for specifically, their form of terrorism, etc. And here's the deal, because remember, we have a U.S. naval base in Cuba, and we had a facility there for prisoners. So that's what happened. It was easy to transfer people onto that base since we already had the base there. And the idea of having the base, Sean, as you know, would be because of the location. Certainly, it's a decent place for the base to be for the United States because we're keeping our eye, so to speak, on Cuba and others in the region. That's why that happened. And then because there was a holding detention center, jail, whatever was there, then that just blossomed. That's what happened. And of course, then fears of a lot of people not wanting the terror suspects to be on U.S. soil for a fear that it would endanger American people. That was the thoughts of those certainly in charge. Instead of having them, like I said, tried in U.S. courts, held in a super maximum security prison, or tried by, some of them will be, tried by military commissions or transferred to other countries. So, you know, basically, this is what it amounts to, Sean. It was confusing. Grabbing a bunch of, you have a bunch of terror suspects, you've got this base, you've got this facility, it's the best place to dump them, and that's what happened. Yeah, exactly.
That's something I could make a good joke about if I was standing. Yeah.
You're right.
Good night. Okay.
All right. Take care. And it is confusing because, again, of the different kinds of folks that you have in this facility. But Guantanamo was open for a very good reason. Again, for the location. Again, because think of Cuba and think of specifically where that base is. And then you had that Guantanamo prison. And the Guantanamo prison opened in 2002. It was part of, really, Bush's war on terrorism that followed September 11th. That's what happened. That's when it opened and was expanded, et cetera. And it's been criticized since then. Some people, because of the jitters in the country after September 11th and everything, some think it was reasonable and some think it was absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, your point of view, shoot me an email, americatonight.net, americatonight.net, or you can call this number, 800-259-5791. Well, on this show, I said last week that when I was talking to young Matt Johnson, it turns out that his father, because we were kind of making fun of the bird watching thing, it turns out his father, Lee Johnson, is a big bird watcher. So I pulled every contact I had, and I found a place for him to go. I did. Detroit Lakes, a big tradition. Visitors come from all over Minnesota and the Midwest, and they enjoy looking at all the birds that are in that area. So darn if I didn't send him up there, and look how he embarrassed me. Thanks a lot, Lee Johnson. Trying to do a favor for my man's father. Trying to just get some support for America Tonight. Even had a special T-shirt made up. Yeah. And it had the show on it. He was up there with the binoculars, but somehow it got confusing to him. It's not a place to shoot birds. He brought his gun, and you heard what the result was. He wasn't with Dick Cheney, by the way. So, America Tonight banned from the Detroit Lakes, thanks to technical maestro's father, Lee Johnson. Matt, your dad, all I can say is I tried, buddy. I wanted to do something nice for you, and look how it turned out.
Yeah, I don't think you got the concept down there. It didn't work out so well with the bird watching.
Yeah. And once,
that's all you're supposed to do is just watch,
yeah,
not partake.
Once he pulled the trigger, too, from what I'm told, because I got a nasty letter from the Five Lakes Resort, and they had comped him, of course, and all that stuff, so I was very excited about that. They had to remove him from his cabin, and he was none too happy.
Yeah, not a good sign. Yeah. You can, World Wildlife Fund, you can send all emails to Kate Delaney.
That's right. And, of course, we're talking about Lee Johnson, though. I did not pull the trigger. I was not there. I wasn't at the cabin. I wasn't in the wooded area. I had nothing to do with it, Your Honor. I swear, it wasn't me. All right. Remember, you can shoot those emails, complaints or otherwise, to AmericaTonight.net.